The thing that is in room 101 is the worst thing in the world.
New Kids on the Block.
Sonia, I don't like Sonia.
Gracian Donovan, Beagles, sorry to be predictable. Eric Jameson, The Birdie Song. Colin Minogue, that guy Terry off the word, Ruby Wax. Mr. Bean,
Yellow Beagle.
Hello, I'm Nick Hancock, and welcome to Room 101, the programme in which a guest celebrity puts his or her least favourite people, places and pop songs in contention for a place in Room 101, BBC Radio's dustbin for the dull, dreary and downright awful. I'll be deciding which ones are dismal enough to merit inclusion using a sophisticated mystery point system, two deck chairs, a windshield and a more than liberal pinch of whimsy. My guest this week is pop star, comic, sportsman and general good bloke, Tony Hawks.
Hello, Nick.
Do you know, that was quite DJ, Tony Hawks. So
yes.
That sort of let you in, didn't
you? Read it?
It
quite well.
Okay, well, we're all very excited to hear your choices. And I think we'll hear the first one straight away.
Well, no one's ever seen what I mean. From the age of 13, we've all been taught in the mama.
Well, it was 82 when I joined the boys.
And I was hip
and I was cool.
But now I lost my boys.
The kids are fans are starting to doubt. When you open your mouth and nothing comes out. And it breaks my heart the way I'm not on the chart.
And that, of course, was your single. You Are Indeed, Morris.
I was, of course. I've now moved on to be Tony Hawks, but I was indeed at one point.
But deep
Morris
down,
Minor.
You always will be Morris Minor of Morris Minor and the Majors.
Perhaps. Who knows?
Just give us the bare bones of the discography.
No, the discography got to number 4 in the UK, number 1 in Australia, mm-hmm. and it got released in Germany.
Right.
But it's a terrible piece of work, and I should like to banish it for all time. And make a small amount of money from royalties from the fact that it was just played on the radio.
Ah, I see. I've been wondering about this. Very clever and fair and well done.
And I have nominated it for my 5 other records as well.
That's entirely fair.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think that we're in the business of lining your pocket.
All right.
Although we've already done it, haven't we? Did you really get money for that? I can't believe it.
Yeah, there'll be a small royalty on its way. 2p or something.
I don't even get any money for being on this.
No. Well, that's fair.
No, it doesn't go in. Bad
right.
luck.
Okay.
And next is your least favourite book. So what's that, Tony?
Ah, the book, being a bit of a literary figure, I've nominated for least favourite book, The Highway Code.
The Highway Code. Who's that by, then?
Do you know, I don't think it
I think
has.
It's
the Department of Transport.
I think you're fine, yeah.
Yeah. Why I've nominated that, I'm always annoyed that it's nearly always number 1 or number 2 in the bestsellers, which seems very unfair given that people work very hard writing long books. And
really?
That beats them. Yeah, you see, I think what they do is they deliberately make unnecessary changes to the rules and road signs and things just so that you have to go out and buy the new version. I mean, you see a lot of road signs that are very unnecessary, I think, with these. Do you notice the one with the two old people stooping with sticks? Have you seen that one?
The old bloke's got a stick, but the old woman's leaning against him. Or, I think, pushing him out into the road. That's what's happening on that one.
Well, I think so, yeah. There's another one for low-flying aircraft as well, which has always struck me as rather odd. It's like how I, as a driver, am supposed to, you know, adapt to a low-flying aircraft.
That's right. What are you going to do?
The responsibility should be the other way around, shouldn't it? The pilot should have a little sign up in the sky saying, look out below cars.
Cars. It's a bizarre idea. What could you do to avoid low-flying air? Apart from take a bit of air out of your tyres. Yes. I suppose that's the only thing you can do.
There's nothing you can do. You can panic. So the road sign is designed to make you panic.
Well, the one we used to have outside of our school was slow children crossing, which we used to like, because we used to think it was slow children crossing.
Yes.
And we always used to shout, Pete Thring, when we saw it, because Pete Thring was thick as a word that I can't say on the radio.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, the other bad thing about the highway code is that it's only really relevant for 2 days of your life, isn't it? Because obviously any drivers, once they pass their test, ignore it immediately.
Do you think the one for the roadworks, do you think that looks like a man with a half-open umbrella just pushing it on the floor?
People have said that before, haven't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, the highway code's useful like that. It's great uniformity, makes it good for observational.
Dinner parties is a wonderful tool for chatting.
It's in colour. You see, you said it's not very good value, but it's got pictures, and it's 99p, and I think that's really good.
Well, I mean, we've had enough to chat about it for about 5 minutes, so
it's better than GQ magazine for a start.
Well, there you go.
I'm going to let it in anyway because
right,
you don't seem very happy today, so I thought this might make you feel a little bit better.
Mm.
Anyway, the doors are being guarded by a particular generic group, so there's a test for you to see if you know what the word generic means.
Yeah.
And see who we can hear as we open up the door to shove in the highway code.
That was Alan Jones.
It was obviously Alan Jones. Yeah. Now we have to work out what's
going on. Child stardom is a difficult thing to have thrust upon you.
You're a clever little chap, aren't you? Because I think you'll find it probably is child stars that are in charge of the door today. But there you go.
Right.
Next music, I think.
Sally called when she got the word. She said, I suppose you've heard. But Alice. Well, I rushed to the window and I looked outside. And I could hardly believe my eyes. The limousine rolled up to Alice's drive. Oh, I don't know why she's leaving or where she's gonna go. I guess she's got her reasons, but I just don't wanna know. But for 24 years I've been living next door to Alice.
You can't cut it out there. We all want to know what happened to Alice. It's a tale on
24 Bombay. Years just waiting for the chance to tell her how I feel and maybe get a second glance.
Yeah.
That's 24 years.
That's slow work, isn't it?
Well, I think, you know, 24 years waiting for a second glance is pitiful.
It's all right if it's someone you've seen in a disco, but this bloke lived next door.
After 8 years, he could have popped round and borrowed some coffee.
Easily.
Anything
easily.
Like that.
He could have deliberately, like, spilt creosote on a lawn and then had to go round to apologise. I mean, yeah, you'd have to be that clever.
It's difficult to know why he left it a good 24 years.
Mm. I mean, there was a slow movie with Juliet Penrice when I was about 14, but this guy's really got it, hasn't he?
Well, tragically, at the end of the song, she's just leaving. I mean, that's why he's in such a state. She's just moving off somewhere else on the very morning when he was going to pop round and ask how she was settling in.
But the exciting thing is, Tony, in a limousine.
Yes.
What do we read into this?
Well, has Alice sort of landed a pop chart hit or something like that?
I don't know. Or she's working for Home James, the neighbour's chauffeuring firm.
Who knows? I often wonder whether Alice wrote a similar song about him.
Living
24 years living next door to Vince.
But he thinks she's an exciting and alluring woman. She probably thinks he's like a serial killer or something. He never comes out, you know. I've only ever seen him once.
He's sad, whoever it is that's singing.
He's
sad.
But not as sad as the members of the Band of Smokey, who here, they all look like David Cassidy, but they've all got Karen Carpenter's hair.
Well, Smokey were huge, weren't they? It wasn't very hip to like Smokey in this country, but on the continent, if you went abroad to Germany or Scandinavia, they really thought Smokey were quite cool. You know, they were a pretty hip band.
Yeah, but they've never quite got it on the continent, have they?
No,
with
of course
music.
They haven't.
They've never quite grasped it.
No. Well, we may be coming to that later on.
Well, if we're coming to it later on, I shall leave it at that particular point. Now, I'm not allowing living next door to Alice in there, because one day, I'm not going to send Smokey in there, because one day I might be able to meet the man who wrote that song, and I might be able to say, whatever did happen to Alice then?
Yeah.
And I think that's something that we'd all like to know the answer to, so sorry about that one, Tony.
Okay.
And more music, I think.
Kraftwerk,
the model.
The model.
Do you reckon this woman could be Alice? I mean, it's a heck of a drive, isn't it?
Well, a limousine could have picked her up and taken her, and she could have started a life as a model in Germany.
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
Posing for consumer products from time to time. Now and then, I think, is the line. That's one of the reasons I like or hate this song. It's because it's the only pop song that's ever managed to get the words consumer products in. And I take my hat off to Kraftwerk for that. She's posing for consumer products now and then, is the line. And she has been checking nearly all the men.
That sounds right. And they were a German band, aren't they?
Yes.
That does sound rather like somebody's translated something rather badly for them.
Well, I think what happens is they write these songs in English and they realise that they've got to fill up more syllables. Because, in fact, there's no reason for her to check nearly all the men. She may as well just check all the men.
Yeah, absolutely right.
I think the original line was, she has been checking all the men... Tum tum. And then they look up in a little book extra syllable words and they find nearly, and so she has been checking nearly all the
bits. Yeah, I think that's almost certainly, definitely the reason.
I think Abba did it as well in a few of their songs as well. These extra syllable words, I'm a big fan of them.
Yeah, but what you've got to think is really they've done very well because, sort of, with the very little German that, say, members of Take That would know. They probably wouldn't be able to cover
this. This is the thing. I mean, I think it's almost better, though, to come in and make a glaring hash of things. The fact that they get so close and they don't quite get it right is even worse.
What you're saying here is a miss is as good as a mile.
I think that's what
that is what you're saying, yeah. Isn't it?
Nice of you to sum up everything I say into a concise little
Well, that's
sentence.
Sort of the job right. of the person on this yeah. side of the desk.
Could you do it more regularly in that case?
Yes.
Fine.
I'm not going to let it in,
oh.
I don't think, because they did bring out Barn, 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 Auto Barn, and that makes them a great, great band.
Yeah. All right, then.
But I salute your understanding of syllabic problems
yes.
of being a German band writing English yeah. songs.
Okay.
And I think it's definitely the reason. I'm rather happy about that. I'm going to tell people at the one or two dinner parties I get invited to each decade about that theory. All right, your least favourite place. A short hop from Germany, in fact. Well, presumably it's wherever the flying pickets come from, is it?
Tamworth.
Tamworth, is that where they're from?
No, I've nominated Switzerland, but I take my hat off to that sound effect.
Who knows what it was?
Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of people in a small room, wasn't it, abusing cats.
I think almost certainly, yeah.
But Switzerland I've gone for.
Mm-hmm.
My reasons being that it's just too clean, too tidy,
right.
too efficient, too small, has too many languages, and not enough navy.
How small should a country be? How big should a country be?
Well, which question shall I take
first? I think you'll find that the answer fits both questions.
Right. OK, I'll take the second question first.
OK.
Which was
how big should a country be? Yeah.
A country should be very big.
Right. And how small?
A country should be averagely small.
Right. I'm with you. I mean, I think you should always judge countries on their size. What would you say was a good-sized country?
Well, also, not just size, Nick. I think it's
important. Size isn't all that important.
Exactly. They do say that. But also, I think it's quite important for it to have sea round the outside of it. The navy have just got nothing to do in Switzerland.
Well, they just don't even have an army, do they?
Do they not?
No, well, I don't think so. Although, strangely, they do have army knives, but they don't have an army. Yeah, that's right.
They export them, you see. That's the other thing about Switzerland, you see. They've got rather an odd way of making money. They just take our money that crooks and robbers have, and they put it in their bank.
Any bad experiences linking you with Switzerland?
I just flew once, rather impressively, from Barcelona to Geneva.
Mm.
And just that's what did it for me, because Barcelona was kind of grubby and dirty in a nice Hispanic way.
Mm.
And Geneva was just clean, and people were tidy and had creases down their clothes, and there was no sweet papers anywhere. If there's any Swiss people listening in, just drop a Mars bar wrapper round the place every now and again.
Mm.
That'll improve things.
My problem with Switzerland is the mountains and the skiing.
Yeah, right. Well, I like skiing.
I know you do.
Yeah.
You see, and I thought this was going to be a bone of contention.
But have you ever been skiing?
Yes.
Oh, right. Well,
once,
that's fair.
In Stoke, on a hill.
Yeah.
No, I just don't accept it as a sport.
Yeah.
And that's my prerogative. I'm allowed to.
Well, you're in charge, aren't you?
Exactly. That's
fair enough.
Anyway, I'm going to allow Switzerland in.
But
for my reasons. But I'm happy to include yours about size. I think that's important.
That's a good point.
Like the Seminoles, Navajo, Kickapoo, like those Indians, I'm an Indian too.
Ah, you see, I think I know who that is.
And I was grasping for the piece of paper, your superior musical
knowledge. Well, I might be wrong, but I think it's Elaine Page.
Oh!
Am I wrong?
You are wrong, unfortunately.
Oh, dear.
It's Bonnie.
Bonnie Langford, isn't it?
Bonnie Raitt. No, Bonnie Langford.
Oh, there you go.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, she will always be a child star, however old she is. Rather tragically for her.
Yeah, it's just, there's nothing to do about it. And she's got
70-year-old well. Child star, Bonnie Langford.
Yeah, exactly it. Right, your least favourite person, Tony.
Now, I've nominated you for this.
Right, that's fair.
You've shown
a deal of natural antagonism towards me in this programme so far, actually.
That's fair, yeah.
It's not going to be small and clean again, is it?
Too small.
No, too small and too clean.
And you have no sea around the outside of it.
That's true.
No, I'm nominating you because once, when we played football together, which I believe is a game you do like, I was in a clear open position in the middle of the attack, in a great scoring position, and you didn't pass the ball to me. But, even more irritating than that, you shot from an alarming distance and scored. So I was unable to have a good old moan at you afterwards because by some freak you'd hit it in the top corner and gone in. So
there's nothing more frustrating than that.
And I've always borne a deep grudge. Also, I think possibly I'm nominating you for the room because I think most of the things that are put in there you secretly love. And I think you'd have a good time in Room 101.
Yeah, but I'm in Room 101, which is exactly what I was just about to tell you, which is the reason that there's no point in sending me out. And also, would you like to hate me because you owe me £10?
Do I owe you £10?
Yeah.
Is this about Stoke winning the...
No, it's about Stoke finishing higher than Brighton this season.
Ah, no, I think I was going to take you on for 50, and you scared me out of it. But I'll hate you for bringing it up anyway.
Okay. Right. Least favourite film and some music, I believe we have.
There is nothing like a day.
Obviously, this is that song sung by Morecambe and Wise, isn't it?
That's right, yeah. But it's from South Pacific, isn't
it?
And a simple reason for nominating this is because it was one of the first films to be made in colour.
Was it?
And it was staggering, the colour in this film. it wasn't called Technicolour, it was the one before that, something colour, isn't it? Crap colour.
Yeah, almost certainly.
But it was, in fact, what they'd do was, when he was in a good mood, the hero, he'd be kind of green. And then when he was sad, he'd go kind of a dark green. And then he was red, I think, at one point. And everyone else in the scene would just take on the colour of the star's sentiments.
It's rather avant-garde, isn't it? I rather like that.
Yeah.
And you've got all other films. I
wanted to nominate any gangster film that had the expression, "We had to kill him, he knew too much." Because this is flawed, this argument, because this person...
You'd have to kill Stephen Hawking, then, wouldn't you?
Well, if the person had known too much, he would have known not to have been there when they came to kill him. But he didn't, you know.
We'd have to kill him, he didn't know quite enough.
Well, he knew too little.
But they have some sort of strange mathematical link between knowledge and death, don't they? Because it happens the other way around as well, when in Bond films he always goes, "Let the girl go, she knows nothing."
So... knowledge is a really dangerous thing to acquire.
It is, really, yeah.
So I've done well.
Each A-level you get takes you slightly closer to the death at an assassin's gun.
I think I'd like to nominate them ahead of South Pacific, in fact. Now.
Really?
Yeah. That's an error.
It's a bit difficult. You started with... See, I wasn't going to let South Pacific in because all musicals are already in.
Right, I see.
From some time ago. Because of... that Eric and Ernie version of There's Nothing Like a Game with Parkinson and Aspel and Robert Dougal and Eddie Waring.
Yeah, all right, well, I won't change.
I don't mean to put you out, but would you accept my decision?
I will accept.
All right, thank you, old chap. That's very kind. And some more music, I think we have now.
Don't go changing to try and please me. You never let me down before. Don't imagine you're too familiar, and I don't see you anymore. I would not leave you in times of trouble. We never could have come this far. I took the good times, I'll take the bad times, I take you just the way you are.
You know, that song was released the same year as Tommy Gunn by The Clash. Makes you think, doesn't it?
It does.
And it was, of course.
Billy Joel, Just the Way You Are, I have to say that I do like it. But my reason for nominating it is because of who Billy Joel wrote it for. And in fact, he wrote it for his first wife. And then, shortly after having written this song, about 3-4 years after, he met Christie Brinkley, who's a tall, rather gorgeous model. And then it occurred to me that with these lyrics that he'd written, Just the Way You Are, Don't Go Changing to Try and Please Me, he'd actually given his wife a bit of a duff brief.
He'd set her up, hadn't he? He'd set her up.
Because in point of fact, what she needed to do was to do a tremendous amount of changing.
Yeah, and get a bit like Christine Brinkley.
Extraordinary, yeah. So there she was, busy just desperately trying not to change. And he was off meeting Sarah. Very unfair.
I said, I love you, and that's forever.
You see, it's...
And this I promise from the heart. I could not love you any
better. You see, if he promised me anything from the heart, Billy Joel, I'd just scoff at him, I would. Yeah. I'd say, kuh!
Would you? That's
yeah.
Good scoffing.
If he said, here's, you know, vend us $20, Tone. And, first of all, I'd ask him what a buckstone was. And then ask him where the hell I was going to get 20 from at short notice. But then, if he promised to give them back, I would just scoff at it.
Do the scoff again. I love that. And he does it exactly the same. You've scoffed before. This is a man who's scoffed before, I think.
Yeah.
Also, what was that organ? Because it was, like, quite new then, but it's...
Oh, yeah, I suppose that might have been a Fender Rhodes or something. It was, yeah, in those days, it was...
It sounds like somebody doing cabaret at a golf club to me.
Yeah.
Because he is music's equivalent of Lenny Bennett, I think.
Right.
And he should really be hosting a well, perhaps a Radio
5
program.
He's quite tough, though. That's the worrying thing about Billy Joel, because he used to be a boxer, or so his publicity goes. So he would, you know, if I didn't give him $20, if he asked for them, he'd probably punch me. And promise from the heart that he'd punch me.
But if he promised from the heart he was going to punch you, he wouldn't do it, would he? We've already established
this.
Anyway, it's going to go in, so let's open the door.
One day, some cinema, we shall live in plastic bags.
Do you know who that was?
I'm a bit stuck. It does
well,
sound
you've
a bit
got a clue in the last lyric. Can we hear the very end of that?
We shall live
again?
In plastic bags.
Oh, I know he's got it. We shall live in plastic bags.
Yeah.
Is somebody who's fallen on hard times?
I honestly don't know, though. No, go on.
Cheggers.
Oh, right.
Right, Tony, your least favourite television programme.
I'm nominating The Weather Forecast for this.
Right.
Because I think the weather forecast is on far too much. But what really swayed it for me was I was watching News at One, and then at
the end... New Look News at One, or before
that? Well, I noticed that today. I was rather upset by that. I liked the old look, but that's because I'm rather stuck in my ways. But at the end of it, there was the weatherman came on, and then at the end of it, he said, have a good afternoon. And I was rather concerned by this, because he didn't care whether I had a nice evening or not.
No.
And then he's saying it to everyone else. He's not just saying it to me. So does he really mean, have a good afternoon? He's just saying that.
I think a lot of these media types are not as sincere as they perhaps make out.
It's upsetting when people do. I remember when I was in America, wherever you went, they'd say, have a nice day to you. And I used to make a point of going back the next day and telling them what kind of a day I'd had.
And rightly so.
At great length.
Yeah.
And they'd get irritated. They didn't really want to know.
I'll tell you what I've noticed about weathermen, and you may be able to back me up on this. I don't think there are any ex-weathermen. All the weathermen I have ever known are still doing it, and there are new ones.
Mm.
They just seem to proliferate.
They do die. They're not immortal, though.
Well, tell me a weatherman who's died.
Reg Grunfer.
No. I'm not talking about Nordic weathermen. Come on.
Do you think, like when most people have jobs, they socialise within their jobs, don't they? They have functions. Do you think the weathermen and they all go out and have a weathermen and weather ladies disco?
I would have thought almost certainly.
They ought to have a barbecue, really, and they should predict it's going to be nice and sunny, and it should piss down with rain on it.
Yeah, they should put their bloody money where their mouth is. That
would be poetic justice.
Yeah. And yes, the weathermen go in, so let's open the door and send them there.
Well, of course, that would be the Double Deckers, the children's programme.
Yep.
But was there a famous member in their ranks?
Well, they were all child stars, but I can name you at least two that went on to become very famous.
Oh.
Brindley Ford.
Yes, I
of Aswad.
Yes.
He was in them.
Yeah.
And Peter Firth, who was in... Well, lots of plays. He was an Equus, certainly. He was one of them.
And I think Peter Fleming was in them as well. He played doubles with John McEnroe later.
Any others?
Not that I can think of offhand. Certainly Fleming, I think.
Was Rich Barney in there? Because he did a lot of bus work, didn't he, throughout his career?
I think he was an extra in the background.
I see, really. Yeah. Right, more music, I think.
Song.
Spanish, were they?
Were they? I've never known where they were from back around.
Used in Holland, written by Germans and...
bought by British.
Yeah.
Tragically. I must admit, there's an album here in the studio, though, and I've just picked it out, called Back Around Light My Fire, and the BBC have stuck this sticker on the front, and it says, please note any serious faults on this record below. Kind of like, you know, I could write a paragraph and a half. I might do after this. But, yes, Sir, I Can Boogie, what a classic song.
Oh, indeed.
It? And I think they blazed the trail for all those Euro groups to come through with these.
Were they the first?
Lyrics. One of, I think.
They were followed by Rennie and Renato and...
I think they just, songwriters realised in Europe they could make a lot more money if they wrote their lyrics in English.
Yeah.
So then they started, I mean, there are some absurd lyrics in that, I think. I think in the second verse it goes, yes, sir, I think I told you in the first verse and in the chorus.
Did you really?
Yeah, I hope so. Have a look there. And also there's...
Oh, yes, hold on. Yes, sir. Already told you in the first verse and in the chorus, but I will give you one more chance.
That's right.
That's excellent.
Just repeating it. And there's also...
I sung it rather better than that as well.
Yes, no, sir. I don't feel very much like talking... Nor neither walking. That's another thing in there.
That's poor. That's poor construction, isn't it?
But she feels like boogieing, presumably.
But would you recognise that song from this description? 1977 chart topper celebrated the delights of the then-dominant disco craze with a touch of women's lib thrown in. I'm sorry? Where? Can you imagine Jermaine Greer saying boogie, boogie?
Well,
or no, neither
will. I don't think that could apply, given that their follow-up single was called Sorry I'm a Lady.
Yes. Well, I'm afraid it doesn't go in, because Steve Punt chose Sorry I'm a Lady, and Baccarat went in with it.
Ah.
So, presumably, they dragged Yes Sir, I Can Boogie in.
All right.
So, I think you've already got in The Highway Code, Switzerland, The Weather Forecast, and Just the Way You Are by Billy Joel. Thank you very much, Tony. You've done very well. Room 101 was presented by me, Nick Hancock, and starred guest Tony Hawks. The producer was Lister Evans.